to Amazing Individuals. We're your hosts, Lisa and Kurt Noble. On our podcast, we highlight people with intellectual disabilities and the people that support them. This podcast is sponsored by a great friend from Special Olympics. Happy New Year! Welcome to a brand new episode of Amazing Individuals, where we talk to individuals with intellectual disabilities and people that support them. On today's episode, we will be talking to Britt Oasis, CEO of Special Olympics Oregon. Hi, Britt. Thank you so much for coming on our show today.
Hi, Lisa and Kirk. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Not a problem. Could you please tell our listeners where you're from?
Yeah. Where are you from and how long have you worked for Special Olympics?
So originally, I'm from Minnesota, born and raised in Minnesota and spent the first 20 years of my career there in professional sports. And then I moved to Oregon in 2018 to take the role of CEO for Special Olympics Oregon. So I've been a part of the team now for about 5.5 years, and it is without question the best, most important work I have ever done. I love being a part of this organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great to hear. You're probably excited then to that Minnesota got chosen for the next USA Games.
I'm so excited! I can't wait. I will absolutely have a lot of places to stay with friends and family, and I will be there immersed in all of it. I cannot wait, and I know they will do an amazing job. So, yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with Special Olympics, and how did you eventually become the CEO?
Yeah, so my first involvement began with, I worked for the Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx, and I would take my staff to volunteer for the Special Olympics Minnesota Summer Games. And so we would escort athletes around to their different competitions. And I loved it. I really enjoyed the opportunity to get to know the athletes because you'd be with one athlete all day. And so, you know, you kind of become really invested in their story and their experience. And you know, you go through the highs and lows of, like, you know, for we were at track and field. And so it was, you know, you fall short on one and do really well on the other. And so it was like the heartbreak and then the joy, and it's all the things. And that's what sport is. It's, you know, it's a roller coaster, and it's learning how to win with grace and deal with defeat. And I really enjoyed just being a part of somebody else's sports story for a day. And so that was my first experience, and I really loved it. I never expected that it would become my career. I ended up dating a gentleman in Oregon, and we had a long distance relationship for 2 years where we were just back and forth. And then we got married in 2018, and I was moving to Oregon, and really long story, but I ended up talking to the board of directors for Special Olympics Oregon. They were looking for a new CEO, and it just felt like a match made in heaven. My whole background was in sports. That has always been a part of my story and my passion. I just believe in the power of sport, and to kind of shift away from professional sports, where sports is a business, it can be a very cutthroat business, into like working with people who have intellectual disabilities all over Oregon, their families, telling their stories. It just, for me, was like the perfect transition for my career. And so I've been with the organization since 2018 and just could not love it more.
Well, that's great to hear. I know whenever we, you know, meet people that are outside of the organization, and then we hear our stories, you know, especially when, first of all, when they hear that we're married, that everybody kind of gets,
yeah,
you know, wait a minute, what? And then
you guys met through Special Olympics, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No. So we met, we used to work up at Great Lakes Naval Base together, and that's how we met. So okay. He's the one that got me involved in Special Olympics, because he's done it since, how long?
79.
Yeah, oh, very cool.
So when I was recovering from a surgery I had, and he was trying to figure out how to get back to doing stuff. So and he had he encouraged me to talk to his coach, and that's how I got involved into it. So
I love that. Very nice.
yeah. So, but so what are some successes that you've seen in your short time, but have seen Special Olympics make, and what are some challenges, especially in the area of athlete leadership, that you and I both kind of feel strongly about?
Yeah. One of the best days that I can remember in my career here in Oregon was the first day that we had our two athlete employees start. So just last year, we hired Rachel Parsons and Ben Fields, and both have been athletes with Special Olympics Oregon for a long time, have participated on Athlete Leadership Council and in leadership in different ways. And when we finally were in a place where we could hire athletes on our staff, I can't even put into words the shift that I felt in our office with our staff, with our culture. We were, I think their first day, I just remember being so proud, like proud of our team, proud of them, proud of our board, like just to get to this place where we had them on our team. But what I've seen every day since is just the joy that it brings to our office. And I think it helps our staff having athletes in the office every day really remember the why. Like, it's not a business. Like, it is a business, but it's not just a business. Like, really understanding what they value and how this impacts their life and what's important to them. And it just changes the way we think and we operate. And I think that there are so many things that I'm proud of and that I've loved, but I think hiring athletes as staff members is certainly at the top.
Actually, that's what my project was actually was working on when I went to Berlin, and then I just they gave me another $5,000 grant to scale up my project to work with other programs
Awesome.
to figure out how to do that even across the board. So it's I'm glad that other programs are willing to wanting to do that. So because I think it highlights, like you said, I think it highlights the fact that we can do stuff outside of just competing. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that I think is so important too is that so we're an organization that we lean into storytelling, right? Like, some people call it marketing. I call it storytelling. Like, we tell stories and bring our athletes to life so that people can relate and understand and be inspired. And I think just watching, like, the more news stories or interviews that we do or what, I find myself taking a back seat or other staff starting to take more of a back seat and just putting the athletes in a position to be the storytellers. Like, that is fantastic. Nobody needs to hear me talk about why our mission is important. They'd rather hear one of our athletes talk about it. And seeing athletes have the confidence and the coaching and the training to be able to go into those interviews or panel discussions and handle those with such poise. And I'm just so, it's fun. It's just really neat to see.
Yeah. What was it that we did for the 50th? You enjoyed that too. You did. Oh, you did. We did a, we got invited to, like you were saying, on a talk show. Him and I got to do that, but he also got to do be on stage for with who was it?
Awesome.
Here's some of the rest.
Yeah, Jason Mraz. So he was able to, like you said, kind of showcase some of his skills that I don't basically, maybe have that he does.
Yeah. That's impressive. And so, I mean, you think about most people would be extremely nervous to get on a stage in front of a group of people, or would be extremely nervous to have a microphone put in front of them and, a reporter asking questions, or to own and lead a project that's important. And I love seeing athletes get the right training and the right support so that they go into these situations and absolutely shine. That is very gratifying. Did you say Jason Mraz?
Yeah, Jason Mraz. Yeah.
Ooh, nice. I'm impressed, Kurt. Was he nice?
I was a little nervous, but
who wouldn't be? That's a big deal. That's awesome.
Yeah, oh, but cool. It was more work than we thought it would be, because before we just thought he was just going to go on stage and that just do a couple. It was like that whole week he had to do what, three hours of rehearsals. So.
Oh wow! Oh cool! I like him.
It was long though, but and I couldn't wait for it to, when we actually got out there and got in front of lots and lots of people, so. That made me feel
so like, cool. What a memory. What a cool experience.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah. So
could you please tell our listeners what some of your duties are, and maybe one or two things that you like most about being a CEO?
Yeah. I would say being a CEO, there's never like no day is the same. What my focus is on tends to shift throughout the week, the month, the year. Our finances are a big part of my job, and making sure that we have the resources to be able to support the programming that we want to do. And not unlike any business, there's ebbs and flows. There's times where we'll have a really great event, a fundraising event, or a partnership will come into place, or we'll get a really meaningful donation. And it gives us the confidence to plan our programming and know that we can do these things for our athletes. And then there are times where you don't get the big donation, or an event doesn't perform the way you thought it would, or you miss a grant, or whatever the funding opportunity was, it doesn't come. Hard choices where I want to say yes to anything that is going to be good for our athletes. Mm-hmm. And so I want to do everything for them. I want them to have all of the sports and the events and the activities. And sometimes the hardest thing is having to say, we can't do this right now because we don't have the funds. And that's really in the athlete's best interest, because you need a program to be sustainable. You need to make sure that you're managing it responsibly, so that while you may have to cut back in certain areas, you're going to be healthy for the long run. And so managing finances is a really big and important part of my job. And I have a really good team and board that helps me with that. I think the other thing is being a visionary, where most of our staff are really focused on the upcoming year. An important part of my job is to be thinking 3 years out and 5 years out, and not what are we doing today and tomorrow, but where do we want to be in a year, 2 years, or 3 years? And are the things that we're doing today putting us in a position to get there? So somebody kind of has to be always looking further down the road. I'm always anticipating challenges, obstacles, opportunities. The biggest challenge I have is staying out of the weeds, because I can get myself I'm a doer. I like to roll my sleeves up and just take things on. And I've had to learn how to not do that, and more or less just say, like, here's the opportunity. Can you do this? Can you evaluate this? Or here's a challenge. Can you solve it? Can you come up with options that we can look at? And so that's a lot of what I do. And then just trying to be a face of the organization, being present with our board, being present with our law enforcement partners, getting to know our sponsors, getting to know our donors, being in front of the media, making sure that Special Olympics is in the minds of the community.
I have the same problem, trust me, but I like to be not in charge of stuff, but to do stuff. So I have to kind of step back sometimes and just learn to let other people kind of do stuff. So it's
delegate, right?
Yeah. it's a challenge. Hard. You just have to learn, let other people kind of do things. So what's your favorite event, I guess, that you attend or that you guys in Oregon do? So.
I would have to say, there's so many things that I love. I think what I love most, I'm a soccer player. And so anytime I know a lot of people would answer that question with summer state games or this or that, like the big things, mm-hmm. My honest answer, my favorite thing is when I can sneak on the field in my, tennis shoes and kick the soccer ball with athletes and actually just kind of be a part of sport. Anytime I get to do that, I leave just glowing. I actually kind of enjoy some of the smaller things, where I actually get to just play. I love being on the sidelines and watching our athletes. So I like a lot of the local competitions or regional competitions where it's a little more casual and I don't have a big role and I can just, sneak my way into a bleacher or, set down a chair and talk to the families and volunteers. And I enjoy the unchoreographed time the most, actually. So
Sounds like fun. So
yeah.
yeah, go ahead.
In October, you attended the Law Enforcement's Torch Run International Conference here in Chicago. Could you tell our listeners a little about your experience?
Definitely. So we have a global partnership with law enforcement, and it's called Law Enforcement Torch Run, and it's incredible. I've been again a part of Special Olympics in Oregon for 5.5 years, and through that, I've gotten to know law enforcement officers across the state of Oregon, and they're incredible. And what I think the recurring theme that I hear from them is, obviously, being in the profession of law enforcement is very hard. It's high stress. Nobody wakes up thinking, gosh, I hope somehow today the police are involved in my life. Like, nobody wants to be in a car accident or have their home broken into or, but you need the police involved in your life to help you at different times. It's usually not a good thing. And so they're there because we need them. With Special Olympics, nobody needs to have a police officer at their soccer match or their basketball match, but our athletes want them there. And that's the theme that I keep hearing from law enforcement officers, is that it is so it feels so good to them to be able to show up in uniform where they're not needed, but they're wanted, and that they get to put the medals around our athletes' necks at the most important moment in their life or their day and be a part of that honor and celebration. And I'm just so happy that that relationship exists, and it's very organic. So it's not something that we can manufacture or create and just say, here's how this is going to work. We support it, and we try to put officers and athletes in positions where they help each other and provide this exchange of joy. But we can't force it. And so it's just this really authentic, organic relationship that happens between law enforcement officers and Special Olympics athletes. And it's just cool to kind of stand back and watch it happen. So then going to the international conference, where you have this gathering of hundreds of law enforcement officers from all over the country. And I think there were also several other countries that sent delegations. It's just neat to see. It's very, I'm trying to think of the right word. There's a lot of just respect and tradition and honor. And for me, I get exposed to something that I have never been a part of, and I'm just really in awe of. So it's cool.
Yeah, I know. That's one of your favorite events is the torch run. Any torch run, anything dealing with torch run, but that's because you volunteer for what?
Well,
And what do you do with it, Kurt?
for volunteering?
Yeah, he
Yeah.
volunteered for our local police station.
Okay.
So I've been doing that since 88.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I'm still doing it.
And then you do the pool.
Wow.
I do the polar plunge, and
Awesome.
I do a lot of volunteer work
And cop on top.
and cop on top and
Nice.
Knights of Columbus and just a variety of things. And my thing is that that one day I want to become a coach. So
Oh, very good. Very good.
I'm doing that nice and slowly. So even one day. So
Have
that's
you
my.
gotten to know officers personally? Like,
Oh
do
yeah.
you have some that are friends then?
Oh yeah, a
Awesome.
lot of them.
Yeah, actually, it
That's
was
very cool.
nice when his mom passed away 10 years ago. I think it was now. They all came, our local one came and signed a whole card for us and gave us, he collects business cards and patches, so they gave him a whole bunch of business cards, so on to make
Wow.
sure that, right, and every time we go to Starbucks in the mornings, it's like they always try to say hi and stop by, so
Oh, that's so nice. That's really cool.
yeah. And actually, and you when we came back that from the Torch Run conference, he had like a whole pile of patches and stuff, so
So
that's
what I
awesome.
so what I usually do is I ask them if they have any patches on them, and if they don't, I give them a business card, and then they're gonna mail me
Some,
send them. So
what kind of patches?
police patches.
Or any kind of patches. He just collects like any whatever they have. So
Yeah,
yeah.
and then they'll send them. So
With my Oregon crew and see if there's any we can send to you.
sure, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's his main thing. So
Oh, very cool.
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So go ahead.
When you're not working, what are a couple of things you like to do, and what is one thing people may not know about you?
Good question. Well, I'll start with this. And I think I mentioned this, but sport has been a part of my life since I was a little kid. I've always played soccer. I still play soccer. So 3 times a week, I go to a place called the Plex in Beaverton. It's an indoor soccer field, and I'm on 3 different teams, and it's my favorite hobby. For me, when life is perfect and joyful, I love going to play soccer. When life is not, the last year was really hard. And Lisa, I mentioned to you, I lost my mom and went through kind of a long illness with her. And soccer for me then is an outlet. It is the place where when I walk into that building, I can kind of just shut everything off. And for an hour, I don't think about anything. I don't feel stressed out. I don't feel sad. I don't feel anxious. Like, it's just sport for me is like mental health. It's physical health. It's joy. It's friendships. And I think that's why I love my job so much, is because I know the power sport has, and I love seeing it have the same impact for our athletes. So I play soccer. I think something that might surprise people is I'm really an introvert. Even though it probably doesn't seem that way, because I'm not shy, I recharge with solitude. And so I tend to lead a really busy life with a lot of meetings and a lot of events and a lot of activities with work. And then my family has kind of got a lot going on. If I don't have time, like a few hours here and there where I can just like be by myself and sit on the deck or go for a walk or just do nothing, like I am not my best self. Like I absolutely need time where I can just be quiet and be alone and just kind of like decompress in order for me to operate at my best. So.
I understand it. Yeah, I was like that when we were going through the when my dad passed. He had end-stage kidney failure, and
I'm
it
sorry.
was just it was thank you, but it was a blessing. But it was, I had a few of my USALC meetings where I had some other stuff, and it just, like you said, it kind of gets you out of that,
Yeah.
you escape a little bit of,
Yep.
it's happening, but you're not, you're in,
Yeah.
you're gonna just escape for a little bit. So,
Yeah. It's not like you forget. It's not
right.
like those things don't still like weigh on your heart. But to just have a reprieve, even for an hour, where you just shift your focus. And I think it's a lifesaver to be able to do that. And so I love being able to see our athletes use sport for that. Like, we all have those things. Like, we all do. We all carry stress. We all carry worry. Some of us carry anxiety. I do. I deal with anxiety. Some people have depression. Some people can't sleep. There's all kinds of things that, like, life can be hard. And I just think sport is such an incredible way to just find your balance in life and find your zen. And yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
I'd
So
like to say one thing.
go ahead.
I want to ask you, do you think I'm pretty good at soccer, so I'd like to practice sometime.
Oh, let's do it. The next time I see you, we'll bring a soccer ball.
Okay, and I'll show you some stuff.
Oh yeah, I'll show you some stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm really good though.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. The next time we are in the same city, we are bringing us, one of us is going to have to bring a soccer ball and we will find, yes, that is on. I
I
look
use my
forward
head a
to it.
lot.
I love it. Okay. Let's
All
do that. It's a
right.
date, Kurt.
All right.
So, well, before we end, well, where do you see athlete leadership in 5 years? And do you think us as athletes should have more of a voice in the movement?
I think athletes have to be the core voice of the movement. Like this organization is for you. You know, it's so anytime we're sitting in a room trying to make decisions about whether it's, you know, on a local level, a national level, or a global level, like where we're going and what we should be doing, if the athlete voice isn't at the center of that, that's a mistake. And I think when I look 5 years down the road, I mean, I think there are minds much more brilliant than mine who would have probably much more strategic answers to this. So my answer might be a little simple, but where I see athlete leadership being really powerful is like you start with like you've kind of got this core right now of athlete leaders who are well trained and integrated into programs and operating at a national level through, you know, whether it's USLC or ALC. The more we can like continue to expand that, where those athlete leaders then have like athlete leaders under them who have athlete leaders under them working on different areas, and it just kind of continues to filter up in a really organized way, then you know that the athlete leaders at the top are voices that are hearing the hundreds and thousands of voices around the country. And so the more we can pull athletes in to be sharing their ideas, sharing their experiences, you know, that's what just excites me. I think in Oregon, we've dipped our toe in the water, you know, like we've got some really incredible momentum and progress. I just 5 years down the road, I hope I can see, you know, 10 times the number of athlete leaders than what we have right now. And then the ones that we have right now, I hope we continue to elevate up so that it's not that you term out, you know, like you are in a role and then you term out and you're no longer an athlete leader. I hope we just continue to expand so that once you're a leader, you're always a leader and you're just finding different experiences and new opportunities and new channels to continue down that path. I just think there's incredible room and opportunity, and it's probably one of my favorite things about this organization.
Right, I agree. I think that's one of the things that I think us as the USALC is working on as well is, you know, once, you know, how do we get more athletes involved? And, you know, because like when one of the things I ran for Congress here, even though I didn't get it, but one of the things I was talking about when I was in Germany was that, you know, ultimately, the decisions you guys make ultimately affect us in the long run. So I feel like we should have a voice in, you know,
Absolutely.
what makes this organization run for us. So I agree with that. Hopefully, we can get there sometimes, or you know,
Absolutely.
So.
Love it. And I love your sweatshirt, by the way. I still need
Oh,
to order
thank
mine. I love that. That
you.
is so cool.
Yeah, as soon as I saw him, actually, I knew that. Right, both of us knew
Yeah.
that, you know, we would like to have it, so my mom got it for Christmas for us.
Oh, they're so cool. Do they run? I need to order one. Does it run big or small or true to size?
True to size, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So,
Okay, I'm gonna do that today. You've inspired me.
well, that's good. So, well, thank
Yeah.
you so much for joining us today. We really enjoyed talking to you. And again, I am so honored to work with you on the USLC and whatever if you want to collaborate on anything, or don't hesitate to reach out. So,
Awesome. Oh, Kurt and Lisa, I love you guys. I've loved getting to know you both. You're an amazing couple. You're an incredible team. I am just so thrilled that, and it's so cool, like that, you know, I'm out on the West Coast, you're in Illinois, and if there's a if there's an upside to what we all went through with COVID, it's this, like we're connecting across the country in a way that I don't think we did maybe as well before. And so I love considering you friends and colleagues and look forward to continuing to work together. So thank you.
So let me know if you need some help with the soccer for your team.
Oh, you got it. I would love, Kurt, you and I are going to play. It's on. It's on.
Deal. Well, let you know, because I haven't played in years, but I've got what it takes.
Okay. Well, I'm putting you on notice. You better start practicing.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
I love volunteering too. So
it's awesome. That's so great. Good.
If you ever need help with that, if you need any volunteer, I'm open.
Awesome.
So,
hey, you guys should come to my book club sometime. I host a book club on our online platform, Soar Active. It's every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, so 7 o'clock your time. But we have some athletes from around the country that join. We're almost done with a book right now, and we'll be starting a new one. So once we start our new one, I'll let you know. And if you ever want to join, it'd be great to have you.
Sure, we would love to.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
That wraps up another episode of Amazing Individuals. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please remember to hit the like button and subscribe to our channel on YouTube whenever you get your podcast for more great episodes.
And then until next time, remember that people with intellectual disabilities can accomplish whatever they want with the right supports.
Yay. Thanks, guys.